I encourage you to take your Bibles with me and turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We are beginning in the middle part of this series. Brother Olivier Brock will be picking this up next Sunday. Our theme is a renewed vision of Christ. We all, as believers in Christ, need to be concerned about our future relationship. We have a present relationship, but are you concerned about your future relationship? So, well, that's all taken care of in Christ. Well, you're right. It is. But are you enjoying His presence now? Are you benefiting in a way that's meaningful? When you open your Bible and you do your devotions, is there meaning? Is there a conveyance of a personal relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it just, ho-hum, I did my devotion today. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to enjoy His presence. He wants us to benefit from His presence. He wants us to understand that we are joint heirs with Christ. And that means something. It means something. I am so thankful for what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. But if I'm not growing day by day in my vision of Christ, it is going to be such a shock whenever I pass from this earthly scene and go into the presence of the Lord. Because I will have not developed that desire to be with Him every single day. I've had people tell me, well, I sure hope I don't die anytime soon. Well, I'm not rooting for that either. But some people are just not prepared, and they're Christians. Now, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has made the preparations. But He's also called you and I to grow in His grace. Amen? Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means something. That means you take up the responsibility of each and every day getting the Word, learn more about my Savior, grow in Him, grow in the knowledge of Him. This is what I mean by renewed vision of Christ. If the only time your Bible is open is on Wednesday nights and Sundays, you've got a problem. Can I just say that? Now, if my doctor told me, you know, he said, doctor, I only take my insulin 2 times a week. He said, we got a problem here. You're going to die. Your body can't handle that. Yeah, but you know, I know what you're saying, doc. But at the same time, boy, it sure does hurt having to do all those pins all the time. And there's got to be another way. So I'm waiting for another way to do it. Well, guess what's going to happen in the in-between? Not going to do very well. I'm going to be sick. I'm going to have problems physically because I'm not enjoying my relationship with a doctor that knows what I need to be doing. Amen? He knows what I need to be doing. I need to follow His instruction. And God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the pen of inspiration, the Holy Spirit of God, has given His revelation to us. Don't you want to know what Jesus has said to us? Don't you want to grow in Him? Well, you need to have a renewed vision of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to pick up today with this thought. And I want us to think very quickly of the last 2 points from last week that I want to bring you to. And that is verses 12 through 17. Here Paul deals with his future relationship with Jesus Christ. How many of you believe you have a future relationship with Jesus Christ? How many of you know that you have a personal relationship with Him right now? Well, I'm going to tell you something about the future. It's going to be a lot different. You say, well, things are pretty good down here. But I want to tell you, when you get into heaven and you see the One who died for you, His pierced hands, the scars upon His head, the wound in His side, it's going to be a much different relationship. Are you preparing for that? Yeah, but I'm going to miss all my family down here. We get all sentimental, do we not? I'm going to miss my house. Now, you got your little ranchette house, but I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, you're not going to care about your little house. You're not going to care about all the things that you had in your house. Oh, Lord, I wish I could take my favorite pillow with me. What? What's wrong with you? What are you thinking about? You're thinking of heaven in terms of this earth. You got a wrong understanding. But do you know what? The Word of God can help you with that. Amen? The Word of God can come in there and tell you about the glories that's going to be coming, and you can be preparing for that. You can be. Now, there's some things that we may not be able to fix down here, such as our singing voices. All right? I wish I had a better singing voice. Dr. Watt, boy, he had a powerful singing voice, and every time he sang, I said, Lord, why couldn't you just spread the talent around a little bit? You know, so some of us could be able to do that. I want to tell you something. All of us, whether you can carry a tune or not, here, will be able to do so there. Isn't that wonderful? He's going to fix our voice boxes. So there's some things you may not be able to fix down here, but he's going to fix it there. We all look forward to that. Let's look at verses 12 through 17 again, and then we're going to get into our study today. Chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, mature, but I follow after. I pursue after is really the word there. I chase after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. That's the same word that's used up in verse 13 there, or verse 12, where it says, I follow after. We're going to, dioko is the Greek word there, and it means to pursue, to chase after. It's like a hunter chasing after his prey. That's the idea behind that Greek word there. He uses it twice in this passage. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your precious word. I pray that you'd stir us up today, that we might have a renewed vision of Jesus Christ, that we might understand and know that there is so much to be found in Jesus Christ, and we've only scratched the surface. Help us to have a renewed vision, a renewed desire to pursue after thee. I pray, Father, that you would work in a very special way today as we consider this thought from your word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 12, Paul says that he follows after. Who is he following after? Well, that's given to us in the very last two words of that verse, Christ Jesus. I pursue, dioko. How many of you have hunted before? Any hunters in here? All right. Whenever you take a shot, we'll say for a deer, and all the little bleeding heart, oh no, shot a deer. Okay. Well, when you're hungry, you shoot a deer. All right. So we're all hungry here, and we shoot the deer. Now the hunter shoots the deer, and he packs up his gun inside of his little thing. He's been sitting up there in the rack since 4 o'clock in the morning. He packs it all up and just goes to his truck, right? What does he do? Well, that deer has bounded off. And so what does he do? I'm going to go find it. I'm going to pursue after it until I find it, and then I'm going to take it home. Because that's dinner. That's food for our family. That word there that's used of a hunter pursuing its prey is the word dioko. And it's a very important word in our study today, and it leads into some other important words that we're going to see. This first one is used twice in these verses. It means to press forward, to aggressively chase. to pursue as a hunter after his catch. Now, that sounds like aggressive behavior, does it not? You know, whenever I was a kid, we had a middle school track. And I remember that we had several track events, and we would be encouraged to go out there and to wear lead weights around our ankles. They had come out with sand weights whenever we were there, had Velcro on them, and so we put them around our ankles. I had to wrap mine twice because my legs were so skinny. But we'd put them around there, and you walked around with the lead weights. How many of you ever did that? Have you ever ran track? You walk around in the lead weights, and then it said, all right, it's time for the 220. And so you went over there, and you got on the line. Look down. Take them off, throw them off to the side, and then you got ready. You got in the blocks, and you were ready to go. And when you started, it was amazing how your legs felt after carrying around those weights, and then you don't have them anymore. What did Jesus tell us in Hebrews? We're to lay aside every, say it, weight and besetting sin. Now, a weight is a weight of sin? No, it's not. It can become one. A weight is to be set aside. If you continue to wear the weights, you're not going to be an effective runner. When you show up every time, all right, I'm here for the 440, take off your weights. No, I run better with them on. And your track coach will say, pop you upside the hip, take them off. Yeah, but coach, I've been really working out every day this week. I've been running with them on, and I feel really good. Take them off, is what the Lord Jesus says. And that's what Paul is getting here. I want to pursue after Christ Jesus with energy, with the power of the Spirit of God. I don't want anything holding me down or back in my pursuit. That's the word dioko. And he uses it twice. In the latter verse, verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. I chase after the mark. Now he uses another allusion. Here we are in the race. I'm running in a sprint, and I'm running against other people that are beside me, and I've got to beat them. How do you win races? Well, you don't do it doing the little lackadaisical run. I love watching people in our neighborhood whenever they're out walking. Some of them are like this. All right, that's kind of my wife and Brenda. They walk really fast, and Eva. They're out there walking fast. I don't walk that fast. But I see some people that are out there. We have a neighbor down the street. He loves to run, but he doesn't run fast. He jogs. And he loves to run, and he'll be out there, and he'll be doing his thing, running along, and he can run like that forever. But I want to tell you, if you're in a speed race, he's not going to do very well. He's not going to do very well because he's not got the timing for it. Some people are long marathon runners, and some people are sprint runners. Paul is talking about a marathon run. I press. I move toward the mark. I see the mark. By the way, it's interesting in the Greek language, the word mark there is the word skopos. You remember a few weeks ago we talked about episkopos? All right? The watchman, the guardian. The same word as you hear without the prefix. It has skopos, and it means to lock in on a mark like an archer locks in on the mark. He's got his eyes on the mark, and then he lets his fingers go. He's not looking around. Hey, I wonder what that guy's doing over there. You're not going to hit the target. You're going to miss it. You scopos. We get our word scope from that, by the way. English word scope from scopos. And you lock your eye in on the mark, and then you let it go. This is the idea. I press toward the mark. I'm set. I'm empowered by the Spirit, and I, with every part of my being, is going to pursue after the mark. And what's the mark? It's Christ. It's Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought Christ has done everything for us. He has. He secured your salvation without any help from you. Do I hear an amen? All of Him. But do you know what He calls us to? He's going to get into this call here. He calls us to pursue after Him. He calls us to pray to Him. He calls us to sing to Him. You see, that's the response of Christ in the life. A vision, a renewed vision. So let's get into this. We have this idea in verse 13 of stretching out toward the mark. Anybody that's ever run knows what it's like to have the tape up there and to run and break the tape and be declared the winner. Well, there's another word that falls along on the fourth one here, and it's brabion in the Greek. And it's the root word for where we get our word umpire, right? My dad has been an umpire for almost all of his life. And an umpire makes calls. And you'll find here, on number six here, we have that call. Notice what we read in the Word of God here. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing toward this mark because of the call of the umpire. That's the idea, the prize. The umpire, back in old days, not like our umpires today that we're all the equipment and so forth like that, the umpire was one that declared the winner of the race. And the umpire was on a bema. You heard of the bema of Christ, the bema seat? All right, the umpire sat up there, and they had multiple umpires, and they looked down over the elevated platform as the runners would come through, and then they would say which one was first, second, third, and so forth like that. They made the call. That's what an umpire's job was, to make the call. And we see that in verse 14. I stretch forth to the prize. What was the prize? Being called out by the umpire as the winner. That was the prize. Well, they didn't get a gold medal. Well, back in those days, they didn't. They got a wonderful piece of green wreath that was twisted around and put on your head, that a week from then would be all dried up. It was the call of the umpire that they cherished most. And we have a beautiful picture here that we must never forget. Paul says, I press, I dioko, I pursue, I chase after this call of Jesus Christ. And what did Paul refer to it? Well, if you read 2 Timothy, he says, I want to hear the words that come from the brabion. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He uses the same idea there, the same thought. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. What are we going to do with our awards? The Bible says we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet because we know we don't deserve them. It wasn't our power and strength that got that. That was Christ's work in our behalf. But I want you to know something. Here on this earth, you and I are to be pressing toward the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Prepositional phrases in the Greek language are extremely important. There are numerous different ways in which the language of the Greek uses prepositional phrases with all kinds of nuances and thoughts of that nature. But the call, the upward call, the heavenly call, ano in the Greek language, the upward, the heavenly call of God is in Christ Jesus. The umpire sits above the race. The umpire sits and he says, this one is the winner. This is the thought. Now, we're not talking about salvation to say this one. He saves by His grace. But you and I are in a race. And we need to be running faithfully for Jesus Christ. So, He's laid this all out. We see these words, dioko, press forward, aggressively chase, pursue as a hunter after his catch. Stretch yourself out like a runner breaks the finish line. Stretch yourself out. Scope on. Diligently watch. Have your eye on the target. What's the target? I should say, who is the target? It's Jesus Christ. All of these active verbs are all in the present tense, by the way. Present active. which means it's ongoing. I am to be pursuing. I am to be stretching. I am to be diligently watching the mark. All of these are in the present active. Right beyond, I look forward to the call of the umpire, the heavenly calling of God. Plesios, a summoning of someone with a sense of invitation or purpose. That's the idea. When we stand in the presence of Jesus Christ someday, it will be His summons that brought us there, amen? It will be His call. And I am to pursue that. I am to look forward to that. I'm to have my eyes on that mark. This is what we refer to as a renewed vision of Christ. But Paul's not done. And this is what we want to get into in our final minutes here. As we look at verses 15 through 17, notice please, let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. I want to read to you from J.B. Phillips' translation of these particular verses here. This was done way back in the 40s. A faithful theologian translated this. He says, all of us who are spiritually adults should set ourselves this sort of ambition. And if at present you cannot see this, yet you will find that this is the attitude which God is leading you to adopt. You may not see it right now, but this is the attitude. That's the word that's translated mind in our Bible. It can be translated attitude. Have this same attitude. You know what an attitude is, right? As a parent, you're very familiar with attitudes. It's fun whenever you have the kids coming in for the first day of school. And we're all standing in the hallway greeting the kids. Some of them are running to their classrooms, and others are just crying. Right, Mrs. Pepper? We've had a few criers this year. Some of them were teachers. No, I'm just kidding. We had a few criers, and there was separation anxiety going on. They hung out in the foyer. Mommy, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to school. You have to go to school, honey. I'll see if they'll give me permission to take you down. We try to stop that. No, you need to make your separation here. They got to learn how to go to their classroom by themselves. Right? That's what we call maturing. They got to learn that. There's got to be some separation. Mama can't be with you all day. Daddy can't be with you all day. You got to go to your classroom. And usually, we're 2 weeks into school. We've just about gotten all the criers stopped. Everybody's pretty much, but you can sense attitudes. Some of the kids are just super excited. They can't wait to get started. And others are a little more reserved. They're not so excited yet. Summertime still calls them, you know. They look out the window. Well, you can be outside. And then there are other ones that just don't want to be at school. How many of you were like that growing up? Didn't want to be at school? Wow, just Roy. He's the only honest guy in the whole place. Yeah. Yeah, Roy didn't want to be in school. You probably let everybody know it too, right?
Except Mom.
Except Mom. You didn't want to tell her. Yeah. There were a lot of other things that you had on your list of things that you would rather be doing at that particular time. Well, how about in the Christian race? How about it? I'm going to read it again. All of us who are spiritually adult should set ourselves this sort of ambition. And if at present you cannot see this, yet you will find that this is the attitude which God is leading you to adopt. Christian, that's a message for you. That's a message for you. There are certain things that we learn from God in His Word. And one of them is to pursue Christ with abandon. Let that be the theme of your life. Let that be the desire of your heart. Let's go on. It is important that we go forward in the light of such truth as we have ourselves attained to. In other words, Christ has taken hold of us. Now our desire should be take a hold of Him. We had the kids over last night, the grandkids, and Avery. There's certain favorites that Avery has. Okay. I'm down the totem pole away. But there are certain favorites. She'll see Elizabeth, and she'll go running with her hands up. Elizabeth, pick me up. Oh, how you doing? Or silver like that. Come see Poppy. You know? Mimi. Oh, Mimi, Mimi, Mimi. Come see Poppy. You know? Now, I don't know what it is. All right? Now she'll come eventually, and we'll cut up and carry on and so forth like that. But there are certain attitudes that you can sense immediately. She doesn't want to see Poppy right now. She'd rather see Mimi. She'd rather see, you know, Aunt Lizzie and some of the others or whatever, or Preston to go play. Right? They like that. Well, the same thing is true of us, Christian. What kind of attitude do we display toward Christ? Is there a desire, intense desire within us, brought through the Holy Spirit? Because what did Jesus say about the Spirit? He will testify of me. We can grieve the Holy Spirit by not having that desire. So if you don't have this mindset at this time, you will find through the Word of God, through the working of God in your heart and life, that this is the proper mindset, that this is the proper attitude that we should adopt. Let's go on. Let me be your example here, my brother, Paul says. Let my example be the standard by which you can tell who are the genuine Christians among you, those about you, among those that are about you. Paul sets himself as an example. Don't get bent out of shape for that. Well, he shouldn't have set himself as an example for something like that. What right do you have to say that? Because you know what he said? We're to find others that have the same example and follow them. We have a responsibility. We're talking to the family here at the very beginning. They have several children. And they got some at home. How many at home right now? Three at home. All right, they're looking forward to seeing y'all soon. And they've got to finish up school, and then they're going to go to college one day, and Dad's going to keep working to keep them in school and so forth like that. But you think about the fact, they're not what they used to be. They used to be little ones running around. Boy, I can remember those days. You come home and everybody's grabbing legs. You know, hey, Daddy, how you doing? You know, let's go outside and play baseball. Or, you know, something else. And the joy that then they grew up, you know, and you have to look up at them like I do most of my kids, except for my daughter. Thankfully, she's shorter than I am. The rest of them are taller. But you know, you think about how the relationship has grown through the years. The relationship is not quite the same as it was before. You used to ask him, how's school going? How did you do today? Did you listen to your teacher today? You don't ask those questions now. The relationship has changed. Now it's questions about life and work and kids and all that kind of stuff. The relationship is Christian, the relationship grows and changes with time. And it should be a growth in a positive direction where I'm closer to my Lord than I was 5 years ago. I walk with Him more closely. He speaks to me through His Word. The Holy Spirit of God works in my heart and life in a way that it didn't evidently work in the past. I think all of us can probably bear testimony of the growth that we've had in our hearts and lives since we first got saved. At least that should be the case. He says, let me be your example here, my brothers. Let my example be the standard by which you can tell who are the genuine Christians among those about you. Who are the real ones? Who are the ones that are to be followed? And what is he doing here? In his renewed vision of Christ and his relationship for the future, he's calling out those Philippian believers. Hey, don't settle for mediocre. Don't settle for ho-hum. Don't settle for, well, I've got my ticket to heaven. Isn't that good enough? Listen, folks, we're God's children. And He sent His Son to die for us. And we have this new relationship in Jesus Christ where we are joint heirs. And that means we need to know more about our joint heir. And that's Jesus Christ. Not simply, I got my ticket out of hell. That's good enough for me. No, it's not. It's insufficient. Paul is calling the local church at Philippi to continue to grow their relationship with Jesus Christ. How do you grow your relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I work really hard at it. No, the idea here is to allow the Spirit of God to work in your life through the Word of God, whereby that heart is created of pursuit after Jesus Christ. Pursuit after Jesus Christ. I wish I could go back in time. You know, I read stories about my great-grandparents and my grandparents, how they met each other. Wouldn't you like to know how Grover and Linda met? That must have been a fantastic time. Did you meet in Kentucky? All right, good. Well, that's a good start. Met in Kentucky. All right. Now, Grover, I'm going to ask you a question. Did you pursue after Linda, or did Linda pursue after you?
Well, neither really, my cousin.
You just shot my illustration all to pieces. So tell us how it actually happened then.
My cousin talked her into going on a date with her.
Woo! So do you still have a relationship with the cousin?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. And Linda, whenever the cousin was talking, did you know the cousin was talking to him? You did? Did you put him up to it? No? Okay. But once you met, it was love at first sight, right? It was love at first sight. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. Love at first sight. We could all go around the room and hear all the stories of pursuing after each other. Like the old saying was, I chased my wife till she caught me. Yeah. That's what it's like when you're pursuing after Christ. He's already caught you, but I want to pursue after Him. I want to know more about Him. I want to have a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a local church assembly of believers, that should be a corporate desire. Amen? A corporate desire to have a renewed vision of Jesus Christ. Now, I began this whole thing by saying, I'm not talking about a renewed vision for Christ. And the reason I'm making such a distinction is that many times our vision for Christ is not what Christ wants. And think about this. We've all had situations in our life where we pursued after something and said, this is my vision for Christ. Well, wait a minute. Was that what Christ wanted you to do? I've had so many people that, the Lord led me to do this. And then it was just shambles. Brother Bob probably could share stories about that in his pastoral ministry. Of people that said, the Lord called me to do this. And then later on, it was no Lord involved in it at all. It was just a fleshly pursuit. We need a renewed vision of Christ, because when you are in love with Christ, you don't want to do anything that displeases Christ. You don't want to do anything that violates the Word of God because of your love for Him. I've used this illustration before, but my first grade teacher was Alice Ann Smith. She was tall and she was sweet. And it was my first teacher. I had second teacher, actually, because I had Mrs. Gay for K-5, and I loved her to death. And then I had Miss Alice Ann Smith for a teacher in first grade. And she, children, this was her voice, all right, when she was yelling, children, I'm going to leave the room for a few moments. I'm going to put a monitor in charge. I'll be right back. Everybody folded their hands. All right? There were a couple of times where she came into the room and she said, I heard noises in my classroom and I know who it was. Now, she wasn't going to kill anybody. Nobody was going home in a coffin in parent line. But in our hearts, we disappointed Miss Smith. we disappointed her. And that hurt us. I got to preach her funeral. That was just a privilege beyond words or description that I got to be involved with her because she impacted my life. She had a spirit and an attitude that passed along to me in first grade about how to write correctly and make your circles. I was making my T wrong. Start. All right? And she said, you need to do it this way. And she taught me how to do it. How can you mess up a T? But I did. And she fixed it. She was that kind of a lady. Nobody in her classes wanted to break her heart. Nobody. She was that nice. She was that sweet. I want to tell you about your Savior as we close. You don't want to disappoint Him. Now, how do you not disappoint Christ? Pursue after Him. Pursue after Him. If you're pursuing after Him, you're pressing toward the prize, the umpire's call. I want that prize because the prize is actually the umpire. It's Christ. I want Him more than anything else. It's not a fleshly pursuit. It is something that comes about because of the Holy Spirit's presence in my life and the Holy Spirit's desire to honor the Son. And you and I, as believers in Christ, have that privilege to pursue after Christ. And then, as we pursue Him, we become examples to others. We've got boys and girls, we've got teenagers, we've got family, friends that need to have an example. And that's the local church. He was talking to local church people that were at Philippi. Search out, look for those. Use me as an example. Look for those that pursue after Christ and follow after them. What a joint picture we see here of each other. Helping each other, praying for each other, supporting each other, being an example of Christ to each other. And in that, we are drawn around a person, and it's not the pastor. You know who it is? It's Jesus Christ. He's the hub of heaven. And all the spokes of the wheels will be centered on Him. And for all eternity, we'll rejoice in His wondrous and holy, matchless name. Would you bow your heads, please? Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your precious word, and I thank You for the admonition that comes from the Apostle Paul, given by pen of inspiration by the Holy Spirit of God, that we could benefit as a local church by what was taught to this local church. They needed to pursue, they needed to press toward the mark. They needed to follow after Christ. That's the picture that's given in all of these verses. So that we become examples to others, to boys and girls who look up to us, to teenagers who are watching us, to other brothers and sisters, new believers in Christ that are watching us. Lord, I pray that we might present the picture, not of hypocrisy, but of reality. Of our desire to pursue after Christ, the object of our faith, the One who has ministered grace to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You would work in a very powerful way and work in our local assembly here, that we'd be unified around the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, as we do that, our relationships with each other improve. They're made better because we have a renewed love for them. A renewed prayer life that considers them. Lord, I pray that You'd work in a very powerful way and give us a renewed vision of Christ, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.